Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
on, and she's getting her costume ready for
Halloween, and she is going to be a zombie child.
Wow.
Yes.
Am I still talking?
No, you're not. I can hear you now.
Okay. So, how's everything going, Miss Jody?
Everything's going out of control. I've gotten a little crazy over the last week was a really crazy week for me. I just decided to resolve problems in my life that I've been avoiding for a long time. So, sweet. Yeah. Weird, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
How was your weekend?
It's been real quiet here.
Yeah? Good. Mm-hmm. Quiet is good. That means you're out of trouble.
Yeah, for now, but, you know.
I was getting in trouble last week.
You were getting
oh my God, I got so drunk Sunday night. I had 5 beers.
I'm a drunk pimp.
Oh snap, that's right. I was pimping out the hose. Shit. I've met enough, that's for goddamn sure.
You don't have the right to do that.
Well, I know, but, you know, they say go ahead. I'm going to go ahead.
Are you nuts? What the hell are you thinking? You got to grow up.
Yeah.
Woo! Old Dr. Phil. Oh, man. Well, like I said, since we're moving myself from the paranormal and all the paradrama, it's been very quiet. No stress. I don't have a team to worry about. And all the drama that involves with that.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I heard some stuff about the Vegas Terracon, that it was a really good party. It was a great event. A lot of people had fun there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know you're not going to Parafest, are you, Jess?
Nope, I backed out.
Well, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, the URN Radio Network will be broadcasting live from Parafest.
Wonderful.
CPR Matt and me will be hosting the show Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday is still being figured out. And we'll announce it as soon as possible. Paranormal Access Radio will Monday or Wednesday swap that week to do their show because Matt and Dennis are going to broadcast Friday. And according to Matt, he's got over 27 guests lined up to speak to.
He's got what? That was pretty choppy.
Damn. Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to speak because I'm hearing myself reading everything. He's got 27 guests lined up.
Nice.
Including Jason Haas, Grant Wilson, Brian Kano, Jason Davis, and maybe two.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
What did you say?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to call back in. Let me try this one more time. Hang on, Mr.
Okay, I'll tell a story. All right, so I found an article over the weekend, and it was, I'm going to pull it up right now. It was about a man in China, and he was arrested in China for claims of telling women that he could get rid of ghosts from women's vaginas with his penis. And he charged $3,250 for the sexorcism. And there wasn't just one young lady. There were several young women that he told their vaginas were haunted. And he actually had sexual intercourse with these women, and they paid him $3,200 to rid ghosts from their vaginas. So that's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Well, I just kind of...
All right, so this man in China was charging women $3,250 for sexorcism, and he was telling these women that their vaginas were haunted and that he could rid them with his penis. And so he was arrested in China for doing this to women. And then,
That's crazy.
And then there was a trial in England where a man bit another man's penis off, grabbed his manhood, and freaking bit his ding-ding off. 41-year-old to a 39-year-old. Attacked his genitals with his mouth, they said.
Wow. There are some crazy people out there.
Yeah, and somehow I was finding this crazy madness. Like, it's just, you know.
Well, it looks like our guest is on hold.
Oh, wonderful.
And joining us tonight is paranormal investigator Greg Perry.
Can you guys hear me? I can barely hear you guys. I'm going to give you guys a call back.
Okay. We're having kind of problems, so hopefully we'll get it figured out.
Yeah, because mine wants to clear myself off. Good old dog talk.
All right, so do you have anything else you can say about our guest? And start over
who
he is and what again?
He's a paranormal investigator
in
New Hampshire. And he's out of New Hampshire.
What was his name again? Because you're chopping up. Eric
Perry.
What, Perry?
Man, I'm breaking up on it.
Yeah, what is his name again?
Eric
Perry?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's based out of?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. and he is the founder of General NH Paranormal Society.
Let me get him on.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I am doing good tonight.
Is that better for you?
Yeah, that's much better. You guys are sounding very garbled.
I'm still
like this,
hard.
Like this background sound, like a speaker on or something.
Hmm.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do I sound okay?
You sound fine.
Is it Kevin who sounds all choppy?
There's some kind of backbeat going on.
I don't know. I'm going to hang out with Michelle's audio a bit better.
All right, well, since Kevin normally does like a nice little intro for the people who didn't really, could you tell us a little bit about yourself before the background?
Well, my name is Eric Curry, and I am from Central New Hampshire Paranormal Society out of Manchester, New Hampshire. I am also the director and producer for Haunted in New England, which will be airing September 6th on TV.
Wait, when do you air?
September 6th.
September 6th. Nice. That's exciting.
Yeah. Central is actually made up to... do education when it comes to the paranormal.
Can you say that one more time at the beginning?
Yeah. Central New Hampshire Paranormal Society is set up to be an educational paranormal group. We go out and we do lectures and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. That's cool. So do you guys do, like, courses and stuff like that for other people and help teach them how to ghost hunt and stuff?
Correct. Central's been doing this for just about 4 years now, and we've been doing it nonstop, and we keep going and keep going. We handle we do lectures and parent cons and stuff like that. We roughly do about 130 to 140 cases a year.
Wow. That's the word.
Yeah, we love it.
I hear you. Can't get enough of it myself. It's very rewarding, you know?
Yeah. We just had a big case, big caseload this weekend. An abandoned church, an abandoned Air Force base, and we did an old home day in Danville, New Hampshire.
Wow. That's a lot.
Well, we have about 23 members on the team.
Wow, that's a lot. Now, does that ever get, like, do you ever have major drama?
There's drama out there, yeah. You know, every once in a while we butt heads about things if we don't like it, but we always work it out.
That's good. I couldn't imagine, are you the leader of it, the founder?
I am. I am the founder of the team, but I also have a co-founder. Her name is Sandra Bartlett. And I also have a great lead investigator named David Currier.
Nice. Yeah. I couldn't imagine that many people. I mean, you know, I got you on the back for that.
Well, when we started out, we were just adding people left and right to hunt with us, and then we decided let's do it and get a team together. When we decided, our very first case happened to be just me and Sandy, and it was at Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. That was our very first case.
How was that?
very, very crazy. We watch the ball move around a room by itself. We watch a shadow person come up in our face. Cigar smoke is smelled throughout the place. Stuff like that.
I have yet to go there, but it is on my, like, I've got to go there before I die. You know, I mean, God, what an incredible building. Like, I couldn't not, like, I look forward to just standing outside of it and staring at it, you know?
Oh, it was just incredible. Just being inside of it, it takes your breath away. But even knowing the history that Charles Manson actually stayed in one of the buildings even made it fun, even more fun.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I was supposed to do an event there last year, and the girl who put the event on stole all the money.
Oh, that's strange. I've seen events where people, you know, I heard your conversation a little bit when I came on about people that are charging and stuff like that. Central does not charge one dime for an investigation. It is totally free. Everything that we buy is out of our own pocket. Equipment, T-shirts, promotional stuff, all comes out of our own pocket.
Yeah, that's how it is on my group, and I, you know, I mean, I understand, like, charging people at the door to, you know, help fund what you're paying for the building and stuff like that. You have to obviously recoup your money for that. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, helping clients out and stuff like that and screening people, you know, it's, Kevin, it's you. You're back, right?
Yes, I am. Does that sound better?
No.
No, you're still coming in like garbled.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You've never been like this before. Can you use Skype and come in? Is that
possible? We can get it. I don't have it on mine.
Okay. No, not you, Kevin, just Kevin.
Oh.
So, Eric, it looks like you know the black.
Yes, I know the black, yep.
Okay, I'm looking through your pictures right now because we're friends on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I love the black. They're so sweet and down to earth.
I was so upset when they went through all the drama.
What drama?
Just recently. They're supporting a good friend of mine's calendar for charity, and they were both asked to be in the calendar, I believe, or Riley was asked, and some people took offense to it, I guess, out there, and they were being blasted for it.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't understand why people have to just bash and bash and bash online each other. You know? I don't
right.
get it.
There's
people alone. Let them do their thing.
Right. There's just so much drama in this field from people.
Ridiculous.
It is. And I see so much of it. There's so many case pages that these pages are calling different people out in the paranormal field.
Yeah. Oh, it's just like, you know, I've had a million phone calls where, Jody, I'm going to destroy your life. And I tell them straight up, could you please do it so I can move on with my day? You know what I mean? Just whatever you think that you have on me, please just throw it out there because maybe I did it. And maybe I'll go, well, yeah, and own it. Or I'll be like, yeah, you're full of shit. You know? And I personally, like, I do so much investigating on my own. And, you know, I'm constantly putting stuff out there, my own stuff. And, yeah, you know, I'm a little bit crazy and I'm wild and I'm different. But I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm not judging other groups. And I look at, like, so many people that are on Facebook that are like, oh, I'm a psychic and I'm a paranormal investigator. And, like, literally, I can't even find a YouTube account of them even, you know, investigating and having one thing of evidence out there to back up that they are what they claim they are. And all they do is bitch every day about freaking guys. And it's like, you're a loser, and I wish you would just go away. It, there are just so many toxic people that bring the good people down, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed that quite a bit. And, you know, my team has been called out for stuff. And I have my co-founder, and I nicknamed her the paranormal pit bull, because she doesn't put up with anybody going after the team.
Good. I like her already. You have to be. And being a woman in this field, I think it's difficult. You have to have thick skin, and you have to be prepared to take a lot of criticism, as well as I've noticed that it's a neat market. And I do a lot of events, and actually this year I took a different approach, and I told every event planner that I have events planned for not to even announce me. I'm like, please just don't even announce me. I'm not going to, promote for you. Like, if you want me at the event, cool, but I'm not promoting for you. I don't want it out there. I'll just show up and people will have to be surprised. Because what I have found is when I put out online, like, hey, I'm going to do this place, I still get bombarded with men. And they're thinking in their head something up, and they're just going to hook up with me at these events. And it scares me. Like, it makes me uncomfortable, and it's like, you know, people are using these events to hook up. And that's not what this is. This is about something I love to do, and I just want to be able to mess with other people who are interested in the same thing that I am. I'm not looking for a date, you know.
This is what I think. I really do think, and this is coming straight from the heart, I do think that the women in the paranormal don't get a fair shake at all when it comes to the paranormal field.
Yeah.
They take it pretty to the side. But I've worked with some of the best women, and that includes my team. My team is mostly made up of women. And I've worked with some of the best. And I've worked with, like, Vicki Carroll, Deb Perkins, and so many other ones out there that I enjoy everything I do with them. You know, when I go out, even if we just talk on the phone or if we do an investigation together or something like that, I absolutely love them. They're all great women out there in the paranormal field. And, I take my hat off to all the women that do this on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, that go out and study the paranormal science. Because I really think pioneers like Lorraine Warren, some of the other ones that you see out there, that are just the pioneers are the backbone of the paranormal field. But I think the women now need to come up into the front line.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this. It hasn't aired yet, but I actually did a interview with 2020. And they found me because they heard through the grapevine that I was the most controversial woman in the paranormal field and that I got blasted all the time. And so they called me up and they're like, we want to do an interview on you. And I was like, oh, it hasn't aired yet, but it's going to be interesting to see because I kind of went off on, you know, that women just, you know, it's almost like I can't vote. I don't have a say. And if I have a say, I'm just, you know. And
I will take any woman out in the into a paranormal investigation. Any woman.
Wait, what's that?
I said I would take any woman out on an investigation with me any day of the week.
I think that we do know we bring a lot of tools with us. You know, we bring a lot of emotions and certain situations, we can kind of push those buttons with, you know, whether it be a child or, you know, a man maybe that was like, you know, really bad in a man in life, and we can just kind of push the buttons with him, get him going. You know, and whereas a man wouldn't be able to get maybe the same effect. And, you know, I think there's a good balance between a man and a woman. Neither one is obviously better than the other. But if you look at, like, the history throughout time, you're going to find that there are more men that have scientific breakthroughs in the paranormal field than women do. And I've also found that older women in the paranormal field, like, say, women in their 50s, they do not get the recognition because of their age, whereas a man would. Yeah, I can use this for an example. I go and I do these, I go to NAFOP meetings, and I have been for a long time, and one of the ladies that runs it, she was approached by a production company, and they wanted to, I guess, see a story on one of her cases that she worked on. And she was so excited, and she was just like, yay, you know, I finally get to get on TV and tell my story. Well, then they come and tell her, yeah, we're not going to use you. We're going to get an actress to play your part, and we're not going to use you at all. So basically, because she's in her 50s, and she doesn't look like a 20-year-old, she's not acceptable. But, hey, you know, you can put John Gaffis on TV, and, you know, he's an older man, and it's all good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's just, I wish that wall wasn't up for women, but it is. And so I like, to use a high five for working with a lot of women, because, you know, we're hardworking, and... You know, some of us are parts of completely right things. And we deserve recognition.
I just I think women you know, do just as good a job as any man out there in the paranormal field. And my co-founder is a prime example of that. She's been on the team from day one, and she gets us cases. She handles personnel. She handles any fires that pop up. She works. She's a single mom. She works a 40-hour week job, and she's a single mom. My co-founder does it all.
That's incredible. Very, very, very cool.
And my personal thought is that women just really don't get the trust that they do. They deserve out there. You know, and I agree with you. If you don't look a certain way, you're not going to get the job.
No, I mean, look at all the women who are on TV. They're like perfect little angels that don't push buttons, and they just go along with the production company, and, you know, they're for the ratings. And, you know, they're being controlled and said, you have to be the good girl. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, and you can't do that. And,
right.
You know, I've been being approached for years to do TV shows. I turned down Haunted Collector, and Jesslyn, she was on my team, and she went behind my back. You know, and she just went along with the rules, but while she was with me, she was crazy. You know, the same people just for a paycheck.
Yeah.
So, change the personality, but, you know, there's... You never hardly see women in their 40s or in their 50s or even hardly in their 60s on TV. And they're
right.
Always in the shadow of a man, too.
Right, right. And that's one of the things when I do the Haunted in New England is I want to bring some of the women, you know, to the paranormal out so people could actually meet them and actually, you know, on air, on TV, actually show them who they are and hold a discussion with them. It's going to be Haunted in New England could be several different things. It could actually be some of Central CNHPS's investigation, but it's also going to be an educational show where I sit down and talk with some of the people in the paranormal field and just pick their brain.
Yeah. You have to.
And I want to bring some of the women. Like, my first guest to the show is going to be Cece Carroll.
Okay. Nice. I like her. She's adventurous. I think that what she does is really cool. Like, I'll see her doing her little sleepover wine parties or whatever, and I'm like, good for her, you know?
Right. I actually crashed last year. I'll say this. I actually crashed her pajama party last year.
I think that's awesome that she did that. I was like, you know, thinking to myself, more women, like, need to come together and not be against each other. There's too much jealousy and bullshit between girls. And so when I saw her doing that, I thought, oh, that is so fun. And, I bet she has a blast at this.
She does. She does. And it's usually she has a really big turnout. She always has a big turnout. Wherever she goes, she has a big turnout. She also hosts the Paranormal Awards. She's done it 2 years in a row. And everything that she does with the Paranormal Awards comes out of her own pocket.
Yeah.
And for 2 years in a row now, Central's actually won 2 awards.
Nice.
The first one we won was for Humanity in 2012. And 2013, we won an award for Outstanding Leadership.
Nice. I would love to meet Cece someday. She just seems like she's just very knowledgeable and I respect her for what she does and how hard she works. And I've heard of her having moments where she's being bashed for her age, and it has pissed me off. It's just like, that's just not even right. Like, leave her be. You know what I mean? Who
right.
is she hurting? Who is she hurting? I've never heard of her going around hurting anybody. I've never heard that about her.
No, she doesn't talk bad about anybody.
But, yeah,
and
I just never hear anything bad about her. So when I have her, people bashing her, I'm just like, why?
Right. There were some people that were going after her for a while there, beginning of 2013, because they didn't think the awards should have happened. The people that were at the awards shouldn't have been there, stuff like that. And they say most of her pictures, and I'll say this much, they don't look like soft porn. I've seen Cece's pictures that she posts on Facebook. They don't look like that.
You know, even if they were, the craziest thing, what if there was a porn star in our industry that came to the table with intelligent and her own equipment, it created her own events, brought her own people in, and just because she's a sexual person or just provocative things out there, does that make her less intelligent? No, it doesn't. Like, I just think that whole, like, when people start crossing the line about sexuality, there are so many sexual people in this field. There are more sexual people in this field than I've ever met in my entire life. I didn't know what crazy was until Paranormal Challenge, and I appeared on TV for the first time, and people found out who I was. And, I mean, I was just, like, devastated for, like, I would say, like, the first year. And then I just started falls out fighting back. And you know, then you get to the point where you just get burnt out with, like, going through, hey, you know, I'm a model, I'm crazy, and I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm not coming after your group, telling you how to do things, but I think the only people I will judge in this field is people who are charging money, like that guy in China that just got arrested, that means he'll be arrested, and people who are pedophiles, too. I had, you know, they really shouldn't be in contact with, you know, people at the events and stuff like that. But, you know, it's like they're, you know, I've noticed some are, like, getting away with it, while others who haven't done anything are, you know, getting it worse. And, you know, it's just, there are other things that are, that are more important to worry about, you know, and just little stupid stuff.
Right, right. And, you know, I see, I've seen a team charging $1,000 for a question at a location. I saw another investigator, he's a here in New England, who goes out on hunts with other investigators, takes pictures of all the female investigators, then takes their faces and puts them on very exclusive photos.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Can y'all hear me now?
I heard the rumor that my boobs are floating around inbox amongst the men in the automobiles, so, you know, it's like, hey, why don't you just come to me and ask for a picture? Huh? Can you help me an asshole? Like,
hey, Jody.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I had to Skype in. I could not get my phone to act right.
Well, you're much better now. Do you agree, Eric?
Yeah.
I can hear him fine.
Yep, you're perfect now, so we're good. We're good to go.
I have to first say, I've missed a couple of the shows due to work, and I have to say I'm sorry about that. My schedule's kind of weird.
Oh, it's not a problem. We're just glad to have you now.
Yeah. All right, so we haven't asked you, like, the big question, which is, how did you get into paranormal?
I actually got into the paranormal when I was in the sixth grade. I was in the sixth grade, and what got me into it was someone scared the living hell out of me at the House of Seven Gables. Well, I was on a class trip. I was with a sixth grade class, and I was standing behind in the class. I decided to stay back, and I was a kid. I wanted to touch everything. And I saw this dark mass go across the wall real quick. It started from left to right. Then I felt a cold breeze go by me. Then I felt a cold touch, and then I heard "Get out." And I ran like a little schoolgirl. How about over? So that's what got me into it.
So then after that, what did you, like, how did you, because that's pretty young, sixth grade.
Yep.
So then after that, like, what did you do? Did you start
When I was in high school, I used to go up and hang out with my uncle at Danvers State Hospital, because he was the barber for the state mental hospital in Danvers, Massachusetts. And I started seeing things that I probably shouldn't have up there that kind of creeped me out.
Right.
And that got my curiosity even more.
Wow. That's really cool. And
yeah, it is.
What a cool thing to get into, huh? So then after that, like, after, when did you start your... like your first group or joining your first group?
Well, I wanted to get trained first before I started to investigate on my own with my team. Myself and my co-founder, Sandra, joined up with New England Ghost out of Maine, and they taught us everything we needed to know about ghost hunting. And we decided, well, I was an executive director at the time, and my co-founder was the assistant director. We decided to form our own group. Now, the name, Central New Hampshire Paranormal Society, actually came out of watching a TV show. I was watching Chips one afternoon, and that's how I got the name.
Or am I thinking of something? What was that show? What is Chip?
What was that?
Chip.
What show are you watching?
Chip. The California Highway Patrol TV show with Eric.
Yeah.
The Two Cops.
Yep.
Nice. That show was awesome, wasn't it?
It was. It was one of my favorite shows. It was that show I would watch, The Dukes of Hazzard, The Incredible Hulk, and Wonder Woman.
Yep. Those are all shows I watch.
The Bionic Man.
Yeah. So that's how I got the name of Central, was watching Chip. I started fooling around with the Chip. I dropped the I, put the NH in there, you know, and put the S at the end. So it was all set up for me.
Nice. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
All right, what's that cat, that noise?
The what?
Yeah. Not a clue.
Somebody's like, yeah?
That's not me. I'm sitting still.
You gonna tell me that my internet's doing that now?
Yeah, it's like...
It sounds like someone has a speaker on that's like reverbing back a little bit.
I'm going to take my waterproof tape off and see if that's it, if it's my phone. But it wasn't doing this when Kevin was gone.
I can hear the tapping now.
All right, is that better?
Yeah.
That's better. That's much better.
Is it my case?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have a waterproof case for my iPhone because I literally have gone through four phones this year.
Oh.
I've been trashing them left and right. But
oh.
Hey, I got the insurance, so I just go in with my head down and say, yeah, I need a new phone. I got $50. Give me a new one. And they look at it and go, Jesus Christ. So when they see me coming, they're like, what did you do now? It's like, shoot, I dropped it in the toilet this time.
Yeah, I'm finally not getting the reverb I was getting. It was really hard for me to keep up with y'all's conversation. That's why I've been so quiet.
All right. Well, you're still chopping up. I hate to say it, but
I can
totally
hear him really good.
What? Maybe it's my phone. All right. Let me hang up and call back.
All right.
It's me. All right.
All right. Well, it's
all
just
right
me
there.
Now.
Oh, good.
Oh, you gotta love live radio.
You do. I when I did my radio show, sometimes people would have their speakers going in the background and listening to the radio show, so I was getting the echo back from my own show.
Yeah.
You gotta
yeah.
love it.
Yeah. And I've missed like more than half of what y'all have been talking about. So I'm trying to get up to speed. So how many people are on your team currently?
We have roughly 23 members.
Wow.
Here in New Hampshire, whereas we have members in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont.
Kevin's
and you're like, yeah, I think you did the same thing that I did. Wow.
Well, when I had my team going, I had at one point 15 members, so I know where he's coming from on that.
It's great because myself and my co-founder, this way, if we can't make an investigation, either one of us, we have lead investigators that can actually do it for us.
Yeah.
And go and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the best thing about having a big group. Was everybody's schedules were so chaotic with work and family and whatnot that it always worked out. I always had just enough, you know. Sometimes I'd have six, sometimes I'd have eight, but I had enough to have a good investigation. Sometimes, you know, if it was something, we did a town in Arkansas where we investigated six buildings in the town. And so I had to have the whole team there for that one. But,
wow.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from, especially like residentials when someone would call, you know, we could always find some people to go do a consultation with a client.
Right. What we do is we always make sure if the house isn't big enough for a bunch of members, we usually, our average is either we send four or six.
Yeah.
To the house. It depends on the size. And when it comes to, we did one investigation in Merrimack County. It was six buildings. One of them happened to be a jail. And now we just got asked to do a complete town here in New Hampshire.
Mm.
Wow.
Like a ghost town?
No, we've done ghost towns. This is an actual working town.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are they
going to
do? Shut down all the locations that you're going to go into?
Yeah, some of them are very historical. Some of them are city buildings.
Nice. That's really exciting.
We just did Air Force Base up in Vermont.
Nice.
We were the very first team ever to investigate it. It was actually the first site of the UFO abduction in New Hampshire. They actually could see it from the radar station when the abduction happened.
Really?
And we got some wonderful evidence out of it. We were using motion sensor alarms, everything. And the first 20, not even, 15 minutes into the investigation inside this one room, we're all standing together talking. All of a sudden, the motion sensor alarm goes off.
Wow.
When we were asking questions.
That's crazy.
We could not figure out what did it. The whole night, the K2s were going off like crazy. Now, inside this building, there's no electricity at all. All the wiring has been pulled out of the building. So we couldn't figure out what was going on in there. But I actually got a Class A EVP saying very good on the EVP.
Wow. That's crazy.
But we are going to go back up there to do a third investigation, actually, of the same building and check out a couple of the other ones. We had such a great time with this one. We want to check out a few more of the buildings. But the radar towers still stand to this day and everything. And it was kind of sad. And one of the things that really makes me sad is seeing people vandalize all these old buildings.
You know, it, like, for me personally, I grew up with, I kind of have two dads. So my real father, his family owned construction companies, and so while I was growing up, my grandmother would go around and buy up all this land all over St. Louis, and my grandfather would come in with my father, and they would build neighborhoods, and my mother was an interior designer, and so when they divorced and remarried, you know, I still got to see it on both ends, even though they parted. My mom went off and would, like, rehab houses and turn around and sell them. And also, you know, I would go into her projects or whatever. And I would, you know, I just grew up seeing buildings be created. And so when I walk in these places, I look completely past all the graffiti and everything, and I just try to visualize it, like, what was it like when it was brand new? And it makes me want to go around saving all these places, you know? Well, I don't know if that, like, you know, if that does that to you.
Yeah, what we did is, on our way up to the Air Force Base, myself and my lead investigator, David Currier, we stopped. Dave's good at doing research, and he's been finding a lot of abandoned places lately that have never been investigated here in New England.
I won't.
And we found an abandoned church.
Nice.
Now, we went in there. We got permission from the local historian to actually go into the church. The church dates back to the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into the church, and it's still, the windows are busted out by the kids and stuff like that. It was just bought by a doctor in Nova Scotia, and we were in there taking a look around to just see what we could find. It had this beautiful chandelier imported from Germany hanging on the ceiling. We were in there. We weren't getting any K2 hits. We weren't feeling anything going on. The place was very light feeling. Well, we got back in the truck and we're taking off, and we're halfway down the road, and my lead investigator goes to me and goes, "Eric, your face is bleeding." I'm like, "What?" He says, "Yeah, your face is bleeding." Well, there was a cut on my face, like a claw mark across the side of my cheek.
Wow. And you didn't even feel it.
I didn't even feel it.
That's crazy, huh?
That was crazy for a church, because it was actually the two churches were actually fighting each other over parishioners, so they were fighting. So there was a lot of bad blood between the two churches, and both churches have the same name.
Wow. How far are they apart from each other?
Right across the street from each other.
Wow. So they were just like, how were they fighting? Like, what were they doing?
There wasn't enough parishioners, I guess, in this town, and they were fighting over the parishioners, vulgar words and stuff like that that you wouldn't usually hear in a church. Things were being said about this church, that church was saying about this church. It's a lot of dark history to it.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at a church and you think, there's no way it could be haunted. People aren't dying in church.
Correct.
You know?
And there was no cemetery around it whatsoever. But behind there is a river.
That's what freaks me out about some of these locations. Like, there's a school in Iowa that's very haunted. And this place has something dark there. And, you know, nobody's died there. But there is a cemetery across the street, and all the people from the town are buried there. It's a small town. And, but, you know, like, when I tell people about it, they're like, are there any deaths there? And it's like, no. And they're like, how is it haunted? And it's like, well, like, the people are dead, and I guess they're back, you know? Like, they just, that's where they're back to.
Right.
That's where they're being bad, because they were bad there in life.
Right.
So they're kind of bad there even after death without being there, dying there. So schools and, like, churches, like, are always those one things that's like, if they didn't die here, how are they here?
Correct, correct. And, you know, it had a running river behind it and stuff like that. I guess it was caught in a flood at one point. But the building was still solid. We were walking on the floor, old wooden floors. It still has its bell up in the tower. And, it still looks in marvelous condition. The pews are all still there. The organ is still in the place. And we were just so lucky to actually get inside there and to do that. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing to get into this church to actually do an investigation.
one thing I like is I'd rather go to a location that has never been investigated than go to some of the places that, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of paranormal investigators have been to.
Yeah.
Right, right. And that's the whole thing with Central. We love going to places that no one else goes to. We do go to some of the ones that everyone else goes to. We've been to the Haunted Victorian Mansion in Gardner, Mass., Eastern State, Trans-Allegheny, some of the well-known haunts.
Yeah.
We're actually going to New York this weekend to Fort William Henry. Over at Lake George. So we're going to be over there this weekend coming up. After that, we actually have a weekend. I believe we have Labor Day weekend free to actually relax with our families.
It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
It is. It is. We've been going nonstop, and my co-founder right now, she's on vacation. She drove all the way down to Georgia with her kids down to Georgia for vacation, and she's coming back. She said she should be back Wednesday here in New Hampshire, and then she's going after she gets home and rests a little bit, she's on the road again to New York for an investigation.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't say, you know, I know going nonstop, I've gone nonstop for 4 years in the paranormal and 3 of those years being founder. So right now, after I've shut down everything and kind of taken a good long sabbatical from investigating and all that, it's been nice. I miss it, and, you know, I'll get back into it. But I've been really enjoying my family and just taking some personal time because I've done so much. You know, it was like, just like you said, every weekend it was nonstop.
Mhm. It's just the way it is for us. Some weekends we don't have anything to do, which is fine because then we get a chance to still go over some of our evidence that we have. We want to re-go over it. Just make sure we didn't miss anything, you know, when we present it to a client or to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we just did the Air Force Base, we wanted to make sure that everybody knew about this Air Force Base. And it's really hard to get to, so it's like if you don't have a truck, you're not going to get to it. We wanted to show how we investigate. And that's part of the thing with the TV show coming up. We want to show people, besides the educational talking to everybody out in the fields, we want to be able to show them how Central works. We actually got, now, not all teams do this, and I know for a fact that it's kind of hard sometimes, and I've talked to quite a few teams about this, getting sponsors for anything for your team. We were lucky enough to get an electrical company and a computer repair company, good friends of ours, Roger Whitehouse and Brenda Whitehouse, who happen to be on our team. They actually sponsor Central and the TV show.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great.
And Brenda's been working with us, I'd say just about a month. She actually came from a group out of Methuen, Mass., and she asked around. Actually, matter of fact, she asked Cece, Carol, who she should she look up to, you know, look into joining. And our name came up, and I met her at the Paranormal Awards, and boom, she was in.
Nice.
That's good. Oh, she's getting choked up here. Ah. That's what I get for trying to drink Monster late at night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
I don't have to drink Monster. I'm always on the go, so it's like, I'm always like the Energizer. I'm just keep going. I'm going. I'm run.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it'll hit me, and I'm like, okay, sleep time.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys do any cases that have anything to do with UFOs?
To deal with what?
UFOs or anything like that?
The Air Force Base actually had to deal with that. since it was the site of the first abduction in New Hampshire. We did watch the sky.
Which one was that?
The Air Force Base. The Air Force Base is located in Lydonville, Vermont, and they were actually on station at the time of the couple that was taken from New Hampshire.
Is it the Benny and Betty or something?
Yeah.
Benny and is it Benny and Betty?
I believe so. I'd have to check my files again, but yeah, it was something like that. The Hills, I believe.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, The Hills, definitely. Betty and Barney.
And it was an incredible... We watched the skies. We were watching very carefully because you never know what's going to come across the sky at night.
Yeah.
And being in paranormal investigators, we do different things. We do investigating everything from the paranormal to, well, even some of my team members won't, but I would. I would actually go out and hunt a Sasquatch if I had to.
I would, too. I think that would be so fun. I haven't done it yet, but someday I'm going to.
It's on my bucket list of one of my items.
Yeah.
When it cools down here in Texas in the fall, I'm going to... Jody, you remember Brandon Garrett was on the show. Yeah, he's only a couple hours from me, and his whole family is his Bigfoot team, and they got a location at a national forest that they go to, and they've actually filmed some of these things and whatnot, and he told me to call him up anytime, so I'm going to call him up and go in the fall and go on a Bigfoot hunt.
That's awesome.
Oh, there you go.
I was just up in Idaho in the call, and there's a lot of talk of Bigfoot up in those mountains and along the rivers where a lot of people do the whitewater rafting. And while I was leaving, I was taking a private jet to the airport, and I looked over and there was like this huge black border control helicopter. And my pilot said, "Hey, you see those guys over there? They're from another planet." I go, "Cool, what planet's that? Because I might be from it." And he goes, "No, they're killers." And I go, "Killers?" And he said, "Yeah, you know that girl that just got abducted from Idaho? This was just a couple weeks ago." And the guy took the girl to San Diego, and they killed him. It was by these guys. And so I went over there, and I was talking to him, and I was like, "Hey, are you guys killers?" And they go, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh, you're from another planet." And they go, "Yeah." I go, "Well, I think I'm from that planet." Like, "I think you guys are awesome. Like, I was in, you know, I love danger." And so I was like, "Seriously, like, have you ever had any dead bodies in this chopper?" And they said, "Yeah, we had that guy's body in here." And they, like, opened it up and showed me where his body was. And he was like, I told him, I was like, "I'm a paranormal investigator." I was like, "You think this chopper is haunted? Like, how many people have been dead in here?" And he's like, "A lot." I was like, "I want to investigate it." But anyways, the one pilot started telling me, like, he's from that area. And he was like, "Yeah." He's like, "What do you think of Bigfoot?" And I was like, "Oh, I think Bigfoot's awesome." And he's like, "Do you believe?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do, you know." And he said, "Well, I saw him out by the river one day." He was like, "I was out there rafting, and I had pulled off and, eaten, and all of a sudden I saw what appeared to be a Bigfoot come over to the water and, like, drink some water, grab some water, and, like, sipping it out of his hands, and then he disappeared." And he's like, "There is Bigfoot here in McCall, Idaho."
We actually have one here, and actually it's been several reports here in New Hampshire of a Sasquatch up in Eagle Mountain here in New Hampshire.
Nice.
And some hikers have seen them and stuff like that. People have, said there's stuff going on. I haven't gone out to look for them yet. That's one of my things I do want to do. right now, I'm sticking with the ghost. It seems to be, you know.
It was?
You know, you get to check out some of the most interesting places when you go. The most dangerous place I ever went to was a mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
They had a gas heater in the house hitched to a propane tank inside the house.
Oh.
I got my team out of the house. That
yeah.
was a dangerous thing.
Yeah. That's
oh,
crazy.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, I'm more scared of living than I am the deceased. You know, I've been on some I've gone up to Oklahoma to a residential, and you know, we met the clients at the only like gas station within 100 miles. And we started following them to their place, and we went down this dirt road, and I was like, it was like something out of a horror movie. I was like, are we going down here, and they're gonna like kill us, you know?
It's
one of those things, you know. It gets kind of sketchy.
We've had some really scary cases when it came to paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
We had a case. It was a place called Eagle Mountain House in Jackson, New Hampshire. We had child spirits, and we had some of the former owner spirits in the building. One of my investigators got, when he was sound asleep in his room, he actually heard the door open, and he caught it on recording. You hear a little boy or a little girl say, "Where's Eric looking for me?"
Huh.
I love it when spirits call my name out.
Yeah.
And, then,
or they, like, directly answer your question. That,
correct.
I love that. When you get an EVP of an answer directly from your question, it's like, okay, that thing's intelligent. Like, it just answered me.
Right.
That's incredible.
Well, when it came to Eagle Mountain House, we were up against something we weren't prepared for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
While we were in there, they had they had the main building, but they also had a carriage house attached to it. In the carriage house, we found out that a scrapbooking club used a Ouija board. In the carriage house.
Wow.
I was lucky enough to have a demonologist with me and a Reiki master with me on location.
Nice.
It actually took 4 teams to investigate this place.
Jeez.
We were in there, and I kept on the first floor. I kept getting pulled to a corner of the room. Kept feeling like I was being pulled to a corner. And my buddy Joe actually pulled me back and said, "Hey, no, you stick with us." And we started hearing things fall down upstairs. So we're running upstairs to find out what's going on. And on EVP, on the way up the stairs, you hear, "Get out," loud and clear.
Yeah.
And then
That's
we got
crazy.
All the way down at the end of the hallway. And at the end of the hallway, there was a bunch of boxes that were knocked over in a room. So on our way down to that room, I'm looking at each room as I'm going by just to see if something's in the room, each room. And there was a guy, an old guy, sitting in each chair, in a chair every time. And I didn't realize what I was dealing with at first. And I'm like, "Did you guys just see that?" And they're like, "There's something there." I said, "Did you guys just see that?" "No." So we just kept going down. On our way back up, I felt my hair being pulled on the back of my head. Twice.
Wow.
Every time I saw him, I kept seeing him in the room, and he kept smiling at me. It kind of creeped me out, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And I felt one of my investigators got touched on her shoulder. So she was like, "I just got touched." And we were like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" Then I felt another pull on my hair. And then I was like in a trance. I walked into this room that had chairs all in a circle. Supposedly what we believe is this is where they ran the Ouija board.
Uh-huh.
In this room. And I was attacked. by a spirit.
How? How are you?
The demonologist, and I could actually feel it. You could actually feel the hot breath coming down on top of me. There was no heat vents, no nothing. It was about 20 degrees outside. And I was feeling
this
hot breath.
I've actually experienced that somewhere myself, having something come up and breathe really hard and loud in the back of my neck. It was crazy. You just know, like, this thing is no good.
Right, and what it was doing, the demonologist, I said, get in here, I'm being attacked. I said it out loud, but they didn't hear me. And then he came in, and he's, like, feeling around me, and all he could feel was this hot, hot air around me completely.
That's crazy, because you always hear the opposite, you know?
Right.
That's cold.
Right, and he's like, you're being attacked right now. You're in a state of going to be, how can I put this without sounding bad, possessed.
Right.
Oh.
I need to get you out of this building now.
Wow.
He got me out of the building. My investigators were behind me. And we got me back into the main hotel. And he sat me down on a couch. And he gave me this, like, this little dagger thing that he had for protection. But he was looking at me. He goes, you're not well, Eric. And I looked up at him, and my eyes were not my eyes. They were practically red in color. And I wanted to kill the demonologist at that point. Now,
you know, I've heard about other investigators talking about stuff like that, and I guess I've been lucky enough that every place I've gone, people get hurt, like they get scratches, they get bruises, they have major dreams, my camera guy got huge scrapes across his chest, about 3 inches thick and about 4 inches long, huge, and then a scratch on his neck. But, like, we've never had where anybody had the feeling of looking at another investigator and wanting to, like, freaking kill him, like, throw him up against the wall and just, you know, attack him.
I was in total rage mode. I was feeling like I really wanted to hurt him. They got the Reiki master down there and about 20 other people. They laid hands on me. But the creepy part was, at one point, I felt that I was not in my own body, that I was looking down at my body while he was in my body laughing at me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Almost like...
And that scared the hell out of
me. Your soul, almost like your soul was out of your body looking down on it, kind of almost like a near-death experience type of thing.
Correct.
Wow.
I was
That's
totally
crazy.
Drained after that fight.
Yeah.
A couple people actually had to help me up into my room that night and help me and just help me relax because I was totally out of it.
That's crazy. I'm sorry that happened to you. So now after that, do you take, like, precautions before you go into a location?
Yeah, I never, ever did any protection at all when it came to investigating. That's how I got the nickname Fearless. I would walk into a location. I didn't have a cross on. I didn't take that precaution. Since I've gone into doing more of these locations, I've been scratched. I've been pushed. I've been picked up and slammed. Different things. And what I was told is I'm some kind of beacon for some of these. After my initial attack at Eagle Mountain House, I have become more of a beacon.
Yeah, because you're, in a sense, you're marked. And I know that because I had an investigator that was attacked, and actually she went further than you did. She was fully possessed for about 4 hours, and I burned the Bible on her forehead. I burned her skin with the Bible, I should say. And she said the same kind of things you did. She said when it was first happening, it sounded like I was like 500 yards away from, you know, and I literally was like in her face, and she could just barely hear me. It was like it was suppressing her soul. Like she felt like she was compressed down in her body, right? And she had no control over her what she was saying, doing, or anything. And she was completely drained too. You know, she when it finally took over her completely, and then when we finally got it out of her, she had no recollection. She had lost 4 hours of her life, you know, and was completely drained. It looked like crap.
Well, the funny thing is, the next morning when I woke up, I felt fine. Didn't feel anything different. But when I went downstairs and I was looking at the pictures in the cabinet that they had down in the lobby of the hotel, it was there. His face was right there, the one who attacked me. And when I went home that day, and I went home to sleep that night, about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I felt two hands come through my back. Icy hands come through my back and grab my lungs. Ice cold, I could see my breath, the whole nine yards. I was attacked in my sleep. And when I woke up the next morning, now I hung my belt up on the closet door at the time. And when I went to bed, you know, I usually hang it there. Well, when I woke up, I had a belt mark across my arm from him or that spirit actually using a belt on me.
Whoa.
Wow. You know, and
I still have those pictures of it.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've done some research on since all that. That was back 3.5 years ago when all that happened. And since then, I'm one of these investigators. When something happens, I'm going to do my research and talk to priests and demonologists and everybody, you know. Since then, a lot of the residential cases I've had have been of the more of the dark nature. So, I wanted to learn. I want to be as knowledgeable as I can. And what I found out was, she kept telling me that her back was hurting, like her spine, you know, after it was all said and done. And the research I did and the people I talked to, there's three entry points into your spine that people that have experienced possession, that's where they target, because that's what controls your body. It's your it's right, the vertebrae, like right at the top, right behind your neck is one of the entry points. So I asked, without telling her any of that, I said, hey, let me come over and you show me exactly where it hurts. And sure enough, the three spots she was complaining of being really sore were those three entry points that I found out about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had an investigator that it really, this one ghost that we were dealing with, this spirit had dementia. She used to live in this building, and my investigator, now, Central does not provoke. We do not provoke at all. We do not believe in provoking because it's not needed in this field. We look at it as, if you're going to provoke, you know, think about this. It's somebody's sister, brother, or family member that you're provoking. Why do it?
Right.
Well, I kind of provoke. But when I rent these locations out, I'm making a film. I let the location know, hey, I'm going to be doing this, this, and this, and this. Do you have a problem with it? And if they say, I don't care what you do, you can do whatever you want, Jody, then I kind of go a little crazy. That's just my style. And I look at it like, if the location is allowing me to rent it for a night to do whatever I want in it, I can do whatever I want. And I also look at it as, like, some of these locations that I'm going to, there were really bad men that were doing awful things to men or women. So if I go in a little bit harder than any other woman would, I'm going to get a bigger response.
Right.
And I have actually collected some crazy stuff by doing that that other women have not collected, you know?
Right.
And
right.
But, like, you know, as far as, like, a client case and stuff like that, you know, that is to be held in a very tender way, and I actually pass those off to other groups who are more experienced and have bigger
right.
teams like yours that can come in with, you know, all the help that they need because they need help, you know.
Right.
But, like, more of these commercialized places, you know, Zach's doing it, you know, there are people out on TV that are doing it, and, you know, it may not be completely right, but for the purpose of entertainment and film and also just stepping out of that box that we kind of are stuck in, you know,
right.
how are we going to have a breakthrough if we're just not willing to test some waters, you know?
From a friend of mine, I'm using the Singapore theory on a lot
mm-hmm.
of stuff. I'm using that, but I'm also, you know, I'm also reenacting some things. Like with the Air Force Base,
mm-hmm.
I acted just like a sergeant in the military.
Yeah.
I have the haircut like it and everything, and I started mouthing out like a sergeant would to see if I could
right.
get a response. Now, I got a response on the Class A EVP saying very good.
Wow, that's how you got that. See, that's excellent. That's excellent.
Now,
I think it helps.
Right. But now Central is now doing something from Ghost Labs, like Ghost Labs did.
Yeah.
What we're doing now is throwing an electronic net over our location. We're using all the latest gear that we have.
Nice.
We're just throwing it all out. We're putting it all in there. Everything that we have, we put out there. And
well,
by
what
doing
do you
that,
think,
we...
out of curiosity, on a piece of equipment, what do you think of the ghost box?
The ghost box?
Yeah.
Or the square box or whatever
yeah.
you want to call it?
Yeah.
It depends on your location. We've used it in a city location, and all you're getting is actual radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
On places like the Air Force Base, we did use it. We didn't get any results from it at the Air Force Base.
You did not?
Did not. We got more responses through our videos and our K2 meters at the time.
So would you say you haven't worked with...
We didn't even get anything off our ghost meters.
Huh.
Huh. Well, can I play something that I got on my ghost box for you?
Sure.
Okay. Now, mind you, I did not believe in the ghost box, okay? I had this thing for a year, and I thought, this is so stupid. All I'm picking up is radio. Every time I played with it, it just annoyed me. And then this one time, it, like, literally opened gates of hell to this ghost box.
Okay.
Do the other men here bother you?
We will skin you alive.
Oh!
Also, what I heard in there before I hear, I'll skin you alive.
Uh-huh.
I also heard in the beginning of you, listen very carefully, you hear, help me.
Are you serious?
Huh. Seriously.
Can I play that? I'm going to play it again.
Yep.
Do the other men here bother you?
Oh!
That's awesome!
I didn't hear it. Is it before?
It's before you even talk. You got to hear it very. It's a woman's voice. You hear? Help me.
Yep.
Okay.
I heard
real
it.
Quick.
I'm playing it again. My computer sucks.
You actually hear? Help me.
Nobody else has ever heard that. Like, that
here,
has been being played all over on radio last year. Like, people were just playing it and playing it.
Yeah, I heard it.
I heard it loud and clear.
Wow.
So, see,
so what are your thoughts on that?
You had two pieces of evidence there, the skin you alive, and then you have that female voice saying, help me.
Yeah, that. So after that, like, this ghost box won't shut up. It's gotten very personal. It talks about people in my life to me and actually tells me things about them. And it also talks really, really, really nasty.
Well, we're using a piece of device. It came from this group. I forget the name of them right now. It'll come back to me. It's a device that actually, during an EVP session, will not pick up a human voice. If you and I are talking during an investigation, you hitch this up into your mic. It does not run on batteries or anything like that. It's to collect EVPs. What it is it's got an electromagnetic thing inside of it with copper wiring
mm-hmm.
around it.
Right.
And what it does is it captures the spirit voices, not your voices.
That's crazy.
We used it at the Air Force Base, and you could actually hear something fooling around with this device at one point.
Really?
And you can actually hear the alarm going off, the motion sensor alarm going off.
How would people get their hands on this?
You can actually go on Amazon or eBay. I believe it's on either one.
Okay.
You can actually get it. I think it was like $10.
Really?
Yeah.
But you
I'll
don't remember the name of it.
I will post it on my page. If anybody's looking for it, I'll post it on my personal page on Facebook.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I got a few pieces of equipment that one of my friends built. And one of them he calls a dead speak, and it's a box you plug your EVP recorder into, and you can either have depending on the time period, you could have sound effects, you could have music, or you could have a bunch of pre-recorded questions. And when you plug it in to this box and you hit play, you won't hear anything with your human ear, because it converts all those frequencies into EMF. So it pumps all that into the EMF field. Scientific way of putting it is you're putting it in the same wavelength or same frequency as the spirits talk. And we've had success.
We've been actually using, doing a little experiments with just plain white noise.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing stuff with white noise. We've also been doing stuff with a strobe light.
Is it Gonsfeld or Gainsfeld?
Gonsfeld.
Okay, I always get it wrong. That is really interesting. Me and my team did that in South Carolina at the Old City Jail. And we were all picking up stuff on the white noises in our ear. It was really interesting because, I did was download it from the internet onto an MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
And, we did two people at a time, and, like, each one, had one.
And we had them raising their hand every time they were, like, hearing stuff. But then, like, there was a black shadow figure running around the room.
Wow.
Hey,
yeah.
Jody.
Mm-hmm.
When you did the gun spell, did you you had the individual with headset on, right, with the white noise going into their headset?
Into our ears, yeah.
And did you take a ping pong ball and cut it in half?
Yeah.
And then tape it to them and then put a red light above them?
Yes, we had a strobe light going.
Okay.
Red strobe light.
Did y'all... The people that were around the person, did you ask questions to the spirits in that location?
Yeah, we were trying to communicate with them, and the camera guy, the camera girl who was filming me and Phil, she was the one seeing the shadow person in the room, but we were hearing
the whole
thing.
That's the
whole
thing behind the strobe light is when you start it off, they say to put it on a medium setting.
Mm-hmm.
And let it bounce. We did it at the Victorian, and myself and another investigator from Night Hunters, we were off in another room. We just left the strobe light going with the camera, and we had a ghost meter out, and we had a laser grid going all at the same time. And during that time, the ghost meter was going off like crazy during the strobe light test.
Really?
Have you tested? We've done some experiments with a black light as well, and filled a room with black light. Because some theories out there say that spirits are attracted to black light, and we were actually getting
I've been reading up on the black light theory. Right now, we're working on the white noise theory. What we do with the white noise is we actually have a disc that has nothing but white noise on it. We'll put it down with a speaker and let it run and run our recorders at the same time and see what we get.
Nice.
Yeah, we've been, this is before, that's another cool thing about not having a team or whatnot. I can do a lot of experimenting, you know, on my own and try to get on some of these theories. One of the things that I'm working on with one of my friends is low frequency, building a big speaker box with subwoofers in it that are basing at a very low frequency, lower than they normally do, and come into a location and basically shake the building up with these low frequency pulses. And see if that creates more activity because, you know, people all the time with the claims of, well, I'm renovating my home or I'm by a railroad track or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Well, you know, when you're renovating, you're creating a lot of noise. You're creating a lot of frequencies throughout the home. So, in theory, if you pump a location full of low frequency, you know, can it give the spirits more energy? Can it give them wavelengths to manipulate? And so that's what we're kind of looking at now.
Yeah, we're trying different things, different experiments to like we're reenacting. We're starting to reenact. Like when we do the fort, we'll do a little reenactment thing to see if the spirits will communicate with us during that time. Like some of the other places that we've done, Air Force Base, we did a little reactment. We're going to see if we can still do it and see if they'll actually come out and talk to us.
Right.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that teams that experiment and try, you know, to topple some of these theories and really, you know, think outside the box like your team's doing, that's how we make, you know, that's how we get ahead in this field, move ahead, and find, you know, possibly discover something new, you know?
Right. And, you know, and I tell everybody asks me, you know, how did you get all, you know, what you're doing? How did you understand what you're doing? And I tell them the first thing I do is read a book.
Yeah.
Find a book on the paranormal and read it.
And if you can't afford to go and buy a book, go to your local library.
Right, you can do that.
There's so much you can learn there. That's what I did when I started.
I've actually found some of the books, some of the really good paranormal books on Amazon for everything from 50 cents to 45 cents for a
book.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's like $3 for shipping, so you're paying $3.45 for a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I've read stuff from Hans Holzer, C.C. Carroll, Thomas D'Agostino, you name it, I've practically read it. I'm actually in a book right now that's actually a case file from a state mental hospital doctor. It's a really good book.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, you know, and I think that's just the way, you know, we're always learning. There's no experts in this field. And we're always gaining new knowledge, you know, and by reading books and talking to other investigators throughout the country. And, you know, that's just the way we kind of learn from one another.
Right, right. And I actually got to with Joe Paranormal from New Bedford Paranormal out of Massachusetts. I actually wanted to work with this gentleman. This gentleman has been in the field for over 30 years. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And to actually do two investigations with him.
Like,
yeah, and I actually got to pick his brain during two investigations.
That's great.
Yeah. We've had some guests on the show that have been in the field for 25 to 30 years, and it's real interesting to hear how they started out, you know, investigating and what tools they used and their thoughts on the way the paranormal is now.
Right, right. And a lot of the people I talk to, I have friends that I consider really good ones out here in the field, and some that I don't, you know. Some I just, they're like, okay, well, you didn't catch anything in it. Well, that's your opinion. What I see and what I'm telling you happened in that video is what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say this with people in the field, and that's one of the reasons why I shut down my team, because I was so tired of the high school drama going on amongst teens and different, you know, different things, and it was just taking the fun out of it and putting a lot of stress. Yeah, putting a lot of stress on myself and my team. And, you know, it's a hobby. It's a great hobby, and it's an expensive hobby. And you want to help people, and you want to understand what you're trying to do, and especially when you get a phone call from a client that's upset. You want to help these people. And when your team doesn't bother anybody, when you pretty much – your team works with anybody out there, you kind of stick to yourself, and then people are jealous of what kind of, you know, what you got going, and they attack you. So I got out of all that crap. I just had to walk away and take a break from all that drama, and I just wish the people that are in the field that spend more time bashing other teams and individuals in the field, if they would put that energy that they're doing right now, if they put that energy into their own team and research and investigating, we would be a lot further in the field, I think, than we are now. Because every time somebody attacks somebody, all we're doing is taking a step back, you know?
Yeah.
Correct, correct. And that's with Central, you know, people call us out on something stupid. We're less like, you know, okay, are we going to be the bigger person and fight them back? Or are we just going to say, okay, whatever you want to say, say it, get it off your chest, and just walk away from it? We've done just that. When someone says something about us, we actually turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the bigger person.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to fighting, like I said, my co-founder is the paranormal pit bull. We just let her loose.
Yeah, you know what? When people want to publicly attack us, we'll go ahead.
you know, and fight back and just make them look like idiots. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even know who you are, and you're just coming along, and, you know, you're just being rude, and you do your thing, we'll do ours, and, you know.
Right, right. When we announced that we were going to do a TV show, I got some hate mail from that. People saying, you guys are selling out.
You know what? I'm signed for a TV show, too. And people can kiss my ass. I'm going to do what I want. And I'm going to have fun doing it. And I'm going to love going to every place. And I'm going to suck it all up. You know what I mean? Because I'm doing what I love to do. And it's not about selling out. It's because you know for a fact if that opportunity came along for them, they would accept.
Right. Right. And, you know, I look at it this way. You do what you need to do to get in this field and where do you want to go. If you want to keep doing, I have friends that have teams practically in every state here in the United States.
Right.
I don't think I could run a big team like that. I'm happy with the teams I have.
Right.
You know, I have two sister teams that we work with, G.H. Payne and Night Hunters out of G.H. Payne's out of New Hampshire, and Night Hunters is out of Fall River, Massachusetts. And we work with both of them. We mentor them. They, you know, they bounce stuff off us.
Right.
And
you have to be open to that. Like, you know, there's certain people that I see they're kind of lost, and I take them under my wings and just kind of, you know, encourage them, like, you know, and being there for them. people in my area more so, but it's important to be a mentor to others. You know?
Right, right. And when we just did Danville's old home day, and we ended up getting people that wanted, you know, that had teenagers that were interested in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And Central, we already had a junior team started, is now taking off even more because after our visit at Danville, we got a bunch of emails from teenagers wanting to know more about the paranormal. And join
right.
Central's junior team.
Nice.
So
yeah,
I think it's the educational part that really needs to be put out there.
Yeah, and you're helping these kids because otherwise they're going to end up running and trespassing and getting in trouble for it. So you almost have to, like, when you see that these kids are really passionate about it and they're following through. You know, as adults, we have to take them under our wings and guide them in the right ways. It's important.
Right, and that's what myself and my co-founder believe. And, you know, we've taken some of our junior members to cemeteries to train them to learn how to use pieces of equipment.
Right.
They say, why are you taking us to a cemetery? Why don't you take us to a haunted house? Well, you're not old enough to go into a private residence. And you're not ready to actually do a full-blown investigation in one of those kind of places.
Yeah.
So that's part of our thing.
Yeah, especially if you're not their parent, you know. I've been taking – my son's been seeing since he was 3. So, like, when he got 11, like, it was so bad for him. I didn't have a choice but to kind of find somebody and reach out to help me with him. And – a lady over at Mineral Springs in Alton, Illinois, kind of took my son and I under her wing. And, you know, at 17 now, he's so good at handling it now, you know. He's actually, he waits to tell me his story of what happened, you know.
My daughter, who's 8 years old, and I love her to death, she's going to be the next ghost hunter when I retire. She loves to listen to EVPs.
Nice.
She likes to look at the pictures that I have from ghost hunts. and stuff like that. He will definitely be the next ghost hunter in my family.
Nice.
He'll have all my gear and everything else, right down to my leather jacket. She'll have that.
Nice. Yeah, I have a 5-year-old daughter. I have a 5-year-old daughter that's been seeing as well. And she's 5 now. And she goes to school and she tells the kids about stuff. And I'll get to school and they'll be like, Jody, can you come to the office? And I'm like, you know, I'm walking with my head down going, oh, my God, what did my daughter do? What did my daughter do? Yeah. Get there. Well, she was telling them about the shadow people in her room and stuff. And one of the boys was talking about how his closet's haunted. Can I give your number to his mother? I'm like, yeah. So, but I've been buying her equipment so she's not scared. I've been buying her, like, little kid stuff. You know, like I bought her night vision goggles. They're like $50 or something like that. But they record. And I told her I'll take her because she watches Finding Bigfoot, and she knows exactly how to hunt Bigfoot and what to do. She's like, well, I'm kind of scared to go and do it, Mom. But if you could just go somewhere by the trees and just pretend. I'm like, sure.
There's actually a camera out that you can get for kids. It's from Discovery Kids. It's an actual night vision camera.
Really?
Yeah, it takes a 4-megapixel memory card, a 4-gig memory card, and it has all the bells and whistles of a night vision camera. And
so does your daughter have it?
Yes, she does.
Nice.
And you can,
that's
and
an
you
awesome
can,
daddy right there.
Yeah, so she could actually film.
That's
cool. Because it is a video camera, so.
Yeah, you know, if these kids are, you know, interested in it, just like you were, you know, you had your experience and, you know, it's so much more important to be there for them and let them express their imagination because there's a reason why a lot of kids are connecting, you know, and they're more open.
Right.
And we have, you know, when they're going to listen to them.
Right. When my daughter comes here, she's like, Daddy, you know, I want to watch Ghostbusters. I'm like, Ghostbusters? Yeah, those guys that, you know, are running around in the dark. I'm like, oh, you mean Ghost Hunters? I'm like, yes, we can watch that if you want. But most of the time, it's my Pretty Ponies or something like that.
Yeah, My little pony. Oh, yeah. Pinkie Pie. Oh, yeah.
Well,
my daughter's in. Her thing is the Ninja Turtles. She's obsessed. Mom, can you teach me how to fight? Oh, jeez. I don't think you need to learn, girl. All right, we're down to the last what?
We're down to the last 7 minutes. So I was going to give Eric an opportunity to promote any websites or any upcoming events or anything that you would like.
All right. If anybody would love to talk with me, you can find me on Facebook, just like these wonderful people have, at Eric Perry, Fearless Leader. You can also find me at Central New Hampshire Paranormal Society on Facebook, and also you can also find me at Central New Hampshire Paranormal's Junior Team page is open, so people can actually come in and join and learn some discussions, some of the stuff that we'll be teaching. Our instructor, Dave Currier, our lead investigator, along with myself and my co-founder, will be instructing these teams on how to do a proper investigation. Our website is www.centralnhps.com, and you can find us there.
Sweet.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck with your TV show and your group and, you know, success and happiness.
Well, thank you very much, and it was my honor to actually be here tonight with you wonderful people.
Well, thank you so much. You have a great night, Eric.
You too, guys. Take care now.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right.
Well, he was really, really nice. And thank you. How did you find him? I mean, even though I was friends with him on Facebook, I've never interacted with him. There's a lot of people I haven't interacted with. So that's why it's great to be on the radio show.
He's part of Haunted Entertainment, and I was just going through their website, and I come across his bio, and I was like, I want to talk to him. So I hit him up, and
nice.
I just always get gut feelings about who I want to have on the show.
Yeah. Wonderful. So, I enjoyed talking to him.
Uh-huh. And so, yeah. there was something I was going to say, and I just lost it there for a second. Damn it.
Whoa. Brain fart.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Eric couldn't come on Sunday because of work, and the event he was at ended up being a 3-day hunt. So I was talking to him Sunday, and he's like, well, I'm off Tuesday. And I said, well, come on the show, you know. And so I'm glad he did. We had a caller that called in Sunday. Oh, man. If people want to go back and listen to the archives, it's the second half of the show. The guy was nice. The gentleman was really nice. But and for a while, you know, I didn't know where he was kind of going with what he was talking about. He kept bringing up that he was Christian and started talking about the Bible and whatnot. It could have gotten bad, you know, if he would have been a different type of person, but he was still trying to push his spiritual belief on us. And it was one of those times, Jody, where I had to bite my tongue because you know, when it comes to religion, it can get real heated real quick in debate. So I just let the gentleman talk, and and then he got off of there.
Yeah, not to get in those arguments, you know.
Yeah, he was telling us that we needed to get saved. And my religious beliefs and what I was, my denomination when I was brought up, it's a little bit different beliefs than going and get saved per se. So that's why I said I just kind of let him talk, you know, but at the same time, I'm like, damn it, I should have screened this call.
Yeah.
So, well, it happens.
It is what it is, you know.
Yeah, it is. And we're currently looking for guests from here on out because I haven't booked anybody. I've sent out a lot of messages, but I do have one guest.
Hold up. I think we do have one.
Yes, we do. We have a guest next week. It's the week after that we don't have anybody. Next week we have, and I'm going to pronounce her name wrong. I know I am. Kathy Ranch Moreau, maybe? She's a psychic medium. And she's part of, you remember the guys from Ohio, Paravision?
Yeah.
She is part of that. She's part of that talent agency that Lee and his wife run.
Nice.
So I wanted to get somebody that's on his lineup and kind of promote them as well. So I hit Kathy up, and she will be on our show next Tuesday.
Nice. Well, I look forward to chatting away.
All right. Just to promote the network, I don't know if Matt and Dennis will be on tomorrow. Matt was having trouble with his computer earlier, so he don't know if he'll be on air or not. Thursday, Ghost Raps Radio, last Thursday, I don't know what Big Ray's doing over there, but he's doing a hell of a job. They had 240 live listeners and over 40 callers. So he's bringing the traffic in, I can tell you that, Jody.
Good deal.
And Paranormal Access Radio on Friday, and Sunday is URN Radio Show. And that's the plug. Jody, do you have a song you want to play us to get out of here?
Oh, snap. Give me a second. Let me work my magic here. I'm loading. I had to my mouse, the batteries in my mouse died. So I had to get new batteries while we were on the phone. Goodness God. we'll go with this.
One, two, one, two. Good night, everybody.